Anthony Bellino from X's and Bros. He is the host, heard weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network. You can talk about Michigan, Michigan State, Lions, Pistons, Tigers, Wings, and more. Weekday mornings in Grand Rapids on 96.1 The Game. One of the Bellino brothers, he joins us. How you doing, AB?
I've never heard such a story, but wherever this helicopter is hiding, I'm going to need that. We had back-to-back basketball games down in the Glass City tonight with the Toledo Rockets, and then tomorrow with the women's team, and then more basketball this weekend in Ann Arbor with Michigan men on Saturday and Michigan women on Sunday. It's an action-packed week, Huge. Luckily, the Lions are on the road looking for W number two. Call it a winning streak. How are you, Huge?
Anthony Bellino, like I said, host of X's and Bros, heard on the Michigan Sports Network and weekday mornings now, the first local morning sports show in Grand Rapids in a long time, talking about the local teams you follow statewide. So your PA voice of Toledo men's and women's basketball, Michigan men's and women's basketball, you do the Jumbotron Ford Field Vision work on game day with the Lions. You're doing X's and Bros weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network. I know you left being the PA voice of the Tigers AAA farm affiliate, the Mud Hens, and you left the Walleye, the Wings minor league affiliate this year just because you have the Daily Show, correct?
Yeah, it was, when you start looking at calendars and you start trying to figure out just your life in general, there's always a lot of overlap that takes place because baseball bleeds into football, which overlaps with hockey, which overlaps with basketball. So it was beginning to be a whole lot. And, you know, to be able to have the time to prepare and to be able to read everything you need to read, to watch everything you need to be watching, to keep track of everything, it was just a nice way for me to be able to step away, and it was a good thing. You know, those organizations, the Mud Hens, the Walleye, provided me with so much opportunity. I'll be forever grateful for them. But you know, it was time for me to kind of step away and lighten the load just a little bit.
Good job, man. He's awesome in what he does. You mentioned winning streak. Broncos have one of the better defensive units in the NFL. Their offense is horrible. Bridgewater is so over the hill. I don't know why they're sticking with him. It's on the road. I'm not liking the Lions outdoors in Denver. What do you think will happen on Sunday?
You know, I don't it's really tough. I mean, you look at what happened in last week's game, and I think for as much, you know, hullabaloo we've made over Jared Goff and how anemic this offense has been, he was absolutely fantastic on that final drive. And sure, a couple of throws were like, oh, they were nail biters. But you look at going 75 yards in a minute and 50, Godwin Igbuke with his run after the catch and making the decision that he made, guys being aware, getting out of bounds when they needed to be, hurrying up to the line of scrimmage, just the way they managed that entire almost 2 minutes to almost flawless perfection to score a game-winning touchdown by Amon-Ra St. Brown, his first career touchdown reception. I thought that was phenomenal. So a round of applause to Jared Goff and company. They probably should have never been in that situation had they handled their business, because I thought that they played a really good football game. And the defense showed up once again when it mattered most. You know, there's a fourth and one. They tried a quarterback sneak in their own territory that gave the Vikings a short field early in that football game, and the defense held to a field goal. They were down 6-0, and you know, they continue to impress. Derek Barnes got lost a couple times in pass coverage, but has been really good getting to the football, made a huge goal line stop on a two-point conversion. I think Jerry Jacobs, what a surprise he has been at the cornerback position. So I think the coaching staff is getting the most that they possibly can out of this roster. I think that, you know, Josh Reynolds coming around at wide receiver has been good. Amon-Ra St. Brown starting to find his flow a little bit. The run game has been very good, and that's what Anthony Lynn has, you know, been focusing on. And we've seen the run game improve from, you know, weeks 1 through 8, averaging less than 100 yards a game, to now, you know, up to, you know, close to 140 yards a game. So it's really been, you know, improvement across the board, but they got to continue to show that. I think that they can build off of that win going outdoors, though, however, on the road against the Broncos, Mile High. I don't think it favors the Lions at all. So I'd be fearful to take Detroit in that football game. But I do think that they will be very competitive, and they'll continue to play that way.
Who's your Big Ten football coach of the year? I know you do play-by-play for Michigan basketball, and both men's and women's. But when you look at Harbaugh beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten East, winning the Big Ten, first unranked team ever to go from August to the college football playoff, starting unranked, I get that Tucker won the individual battle and came back from 16 down, but I don't know how, and I guess it's just bias towards Harbaugh, how he's not Big Ten Coach of the Year.
Yeah, that's a really tough one, just because, I mean, the expectation for Michigan State going into this year was, you know, I mean, their over-under was set at, what, 4.5 wins? We didn't really know what to expect out of year two.
Yeah, but hold on, Anthony, that expectations thing, no one knew if Michigan was going to be 4-8 or 5-7, and if this was going to be Harbaugh's last year. Mel Tucker didn't have his job on the line.
Oh, 100%. I mean, people were talking about, will Michigan, would they be lucky to reach 8-4? You know, 7-5 was realistic, and that's why their total wins was set at 7.5 by Vegas, because the job that Jim Harbaugh did with this Michigan football team, the way that this group really rallied after that Michigan State loss, you look at that big victory on the road against Penn State, the catch and run by Eric Aull, the tight end on the drag route across the middle of the field. Like, you know, there's so many different individual plays, you know, going, you know, rallying against Wisconsin, beating Nebraska on the road in a tough game there at night. I think it's really hard to not pick Jim Harbaugh as the coach of the year. And that's and the thing about it is I can say that, and it doesn't take anything away from what Mel Tucker has been able to do at Michigan State, right? They had an incredible year. I heard you talking about it earlier, where if they get that win against Pitt in the Peach Bowl, that's fantastic. New Year's Six Bowl for Michigan State going into the season, that's wonderful. I just don't know how you don't select the coach that exceeded, you know, that defied all odds, exceeded all expectations, and went from, hey, this team might be lucky to win 7 games, to they're 12-1. They have a Heisman candidate on their team. Oh, and by the way, they're going to the college football playoff. It's the number 2 team in the country. That's pretty tough to vote against. So I would lean towards Harbaugh, but that doesn't take away anything that Mel Tucker was able to do for the Michigan State Spartans, because it both can be good at the same time. Like, it's possible.
Anthony Bellino is joining us on the Meyer Guest Line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. You can hear him weekday mornings, 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network. Also in Grand Rapids on our flagship station, 96.1 The Game. The only local morning show talking about Michigan State and Pitt, Michigan and Georgia, and more. Lions, Pistons, Tigers, Wings. Speaking of Michigan and Georgia, if the game was kicking off in 2.5 hours, and the college football playoff Final Four was tonight, on the DraftKings Sportsbook app big board, Georgia remains a 7.5-point favorite. Who would you take, and who would you take to win if Michigan-Georgia was tonight?
I mean, there isn't a sledgehammer big enough that painted maize and blue for me to take Michigan in that football game. I think that Georgia really showed what they're actually about. You know, there's this definite bias with the SEC that we believe, and it's because they produce more pros. That conference produces more professionals than any other conference in the country, and it's been that way for quite some time. So you see that the overall talent level is just better in the Southeastern Conference. However, look at Georgia's schedule, right? Who did they beat that was really that noteworthy when you consider what Michigan was able to do, especially in the last few performances in this half of the season? I would take Michigan. I really do. Georgia showed that they can't play without a lead. Their offense struggles. It's definitely not as good as their defense. So as long as Michigan's offense could continue to win that battle at the point of attack at the line of scrimmage, which I think their offensive line can, I would say Michigan controls this game. I would take them and the points. I would take them on the money line.
By the way, maybe a reason why to take Michigan, if you go inside the talent at Georgia in Athens, the SEC all-conference team was announced today, and Georgia had only one player, their tight end, that freshman who's a stud, Brock Bowers. Only one Georgia Bulldog made first team all SEC on offense. On defense, you see where their strength is. They had 3 guys, including Jordan Davis, who's one of the better defensive linemen with Hutch in college football, Devontae Wyatt, another D lineman, and also N'Kobe Dean, a stud linebacker, and they had the punter. So here's the number one team in America just, you know what, 4 days ago, right? Number one team in America had only 5 guys first team all SEC this year. One on offense, Brock Bowers, that tight end from Napa, California, who I think is the best tight end maybe in America. And you had 3 on defense, and you had the punter. That's interesting. Because normally, in Alabama throws, you know, a ton of guys on that team. both offensively and defensively. I think that says something about Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, if you can be ranked number one and you only have four, you know, what, one specialist, as you mentioned, and four other first-teamers, I think that that says a lot about the quality of overall team. And I also think it might tell you that, hey, wait a minute, we might have a little bit of fool's gold here, right? I mean, maybe they were the beneficiaries of a really good schedule. I think that the role Michigan is on right now, huge. I think the momentum that they have within the program, I would actually prefer the game to be played in about 2.5 hours. I think that's a great time for kickoff. Let's just move it up and do it right now. I think giving, you know, both these staffs, but, you know, especially Georgia, time to kind of, you know, self-scout after a massive whiff there in the SEC championship game. I think the delay, the lull here, you know, it's always a tough time for kids, because, you know, you have those that are, you know, you're finishing up your semester in the schoolwork, and then campus is barren, and you're spending the holidays, you know, with your teammates, you're kind of away from home. And this is usually a break time for most teams, unless you get to a bowl game. So it's always very interesting to see how coaches kind of game plan and attack their own calendars, trying to get their guys prepared for it, because now you're on a 3-week bye basically. And that's difficult to get up to game speed, because there's nothing in practice you can simulate like a live actual game. So I think that'll be a very interesting kind of footnote in this ball game. How will Michigan start off? We've seen them start slow in some games. We've seen them come out of the gates and start ripping and roaring as well. So if they do come out slow, how does the defense respond to Georgia's offense? If they come out fast, can they play with a lead, and can they build on that lead? Because we know that Georgia, you know, has shown that they can't necessarily handle playing from behind, because they just don't have that offensive firepower.
Interesting to go even deeper inside the numbers. The first and second team 2021 All SEC offense, Georgia did not have a skill player on the first or second team. They had only one skill player on both teams, and that's Bowers, the tight end. Had a couple of offensive linemen on the second team, but when you look at their defense on the second team, they had three more guys. So first and second team, six of their starting 11. So obviously you see the strength of Georgia, but you know, they've lived in the past by having great playmakers with speed and that SEC style on offense. They don't have it. Alabama did. Alabama and Saban exposed that, and that's going to be big for Michigan, I think, when they get to the Orange Bowl on New Year's Eve. Anthony Bellino doing a great job with X's and Bros weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network. For the station close to you, go to MichiganSportsNetwork.com. In the Grand Rapids area, you can listen and comment and take in conversation in regards to Michigan, Georgia, Michigan State, Pitt, Michigan, MSU hoops, Lions, Pistons, Tigers, Wings, and more with Ryan, Dan, and AB. X's and Bros, weekday morning, 6 a.m. in Grand Rapids on 96.1. Anthony, have a great night. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Huge. Always appreciate it, my friend. Take care.